Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Well, I mean, you got to find a way to get at least one extra base hit, right? The Brewers fall today 5-2 to the Detroit Tigers. So it's a rubber match tomorrow against the back-to-back Cy Young Award winner. Brewers fall 5-2. Chad Patrick gets the loss. He wasn't particularly sharp. We'll talk about him in the next segment. We'll talk a little bit about what this little trio coming up here for the Brewers with Casey Mize today being a 1-1. Tomorrow got Tarek Skubal, the Cy Youngs. And then on Friday, you're scheduled, likely, it's not official yet, you're scheduled to get Paul Skeens. In a week, you've already got Sandy Alcantara and Yuri Perez. So, of course, the offense is having a little bit of a hangover today, Jerry Augustine, after scoring 12 runs yesterday.
Yeah, they sure have. You know, you look at, I think the whole game comes down to, you know, we always talk about getting off on the right foot and having a good day. And last night they did that. They scored 7 runs in the seventh or eighth inning, sixth inning yesterday. But, you know, take Casey Mize. You got to give credit where credit is due. I thought he threw the ball really well. He was very efficient. He got out there and he had some 1-2-3 innings. And, you know, anytime you get out and you get a little bit of a lead going into the sixth inning, you're sitting pretty good. But I thought tonight you got to give credit to Casey Mize. He threw the ball really well.
Yeah, Mize, I think he caught on that the Brewers were very sharp when it comes to his splitter. They did a really good job not swinging and missing at it. I thought they were very smart with understanding his usage. But then he doubled down and said, no worries, I've got a slider too. And I thought that was, I mean, in addition to his fastball, of course, but fastball, slider, I thought were really impressive as a combination for him tonight. He had 4 swings and misses, I should say. 4 swings and misses on the slider, 2 more on the heater, and only 2 on the splitter. And the big theme, and we'll talk about this with Chad Patrick as well, is Casey was ahead virtually all night. That first time through the order, he threw a first pitch strike to only 6 out of 9 batters, but then the second time through the order, he threw a first pitch strike to, oh no, once again, 6 out of 9 batters. So you get my point here is that when you get ahead, good things happen. You keep the offense at bay. And the only run that scored against Mize was, quite frankly, a patented Brewers 2-out rally worth a walk, a stolen base, and a single. You're not going to win many games just doing that. And Casey Mize was like, all right, fine, take 1 run. You're a big league team, and it's no big deal. And he battered down the hatches from there.
Yeah, he just, you know, I really liked the way he made the adjustment. You know, his pitch is that split finger, and when he's got that, he's really effective. But tonight, it wasn't right. It wasn't there. I thought, like you said, I thought the Brewers did a nice job of laying off that pitch. It's a pitch that, you know, there's a lot of movement going down, and if you can take that pitch, a lot of times it'll go out of the strike zone. I thought the Brewers did a really nice job with that pitch. But then they made him come back, and he was able to make that adjustment. And, you know, if you can pitch at your fastball, locate your secondary pitches, at least one of your secondary pitches, you're going to be pretty successful. And I think that's what happened tonight with his fastball. He was able to throw his fastball at good locations and really use that slider really well tonight.
And yet tonight, the Brewers, you know, especially toward the end of this game, in the 5th, the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th, they got their leadoff man on in all of those innings, and they still had, obviously, the bases loaded there in the 9th inning when they ultimately fell 5-2. It wasn't for a lack of the leadoff man getting on. It was for a lack of the thump. The Brewers really didn't hit many balls hard tonight, really didn't have the same quality of contact that we're so seeing. A lot of ground balls today. Again, that works on both sides where the pitching was really good and the Brewers offense was a little flat today. But I thought the big moments in this game, especially in the 5th inning, with a leadoff single for Sal Frelick, right, bottom third of this order, can be so dynamic at times. And that's what we saw yesterday with the rallies that got sparked. But I thought, cool, Sal leading off the inning is great news. And you got 9-1 due up. And Hamilton strikes out trying to bunt. And I understand that the tool in his toolkit, you know, and at that point being down 2-1, I was a little surprised by it. And then in one at-bat, Joey Ortiz, the next at-bat, Joey Ortiz flies out on a pitch that Sal Frelick had a massive jump on. He would have had second base stolen, and Joey swung at the pitch and flied out to center field. I thought those are 2 mistakes in this game that maybe we're talking, I'm not saying it's the whole game, and oh my gosh, it all hung on the 5th inning, but two little things. I'm like, just kind of scratching your head. Like, yeah, that's not very Brewersy. That's not what they're normally all about.
Yeah. You know, you look at, you know, at Hamilton, he's been so successful, you know, putting the ball in play. And one of the successes that he's had with the Brewers since he's been here is bunting the ball. But I think when you get into that two strike pitch, you got to make a decision. If you're going to bunt with that third strike, if you're going to bunt with the two strikes, you got to make sure you put it in play. And I thought right there, the ball got away from him. He popped it up a little bit and it got away from him. But, you know, he's really done a nice job of bunting the ball. And when you have that kind of confidence, you're going to say, you know what, if I can get that ball down, it's going to mean a lot. Get the runner in scoring position. It's just that that plan didn't work out. And then, like you said, you know, you look at the lead that Frelick had going to second, and then he swings at the pitch. That's something that, you know, I think Joey was just looking for a good pitch to hit, trying to put it in play and make something happen, and put a good swing on it.
But then once again, the Brewers had a leadoff walk in the seventh to chase Casey Mize for the game, and then it was locked down from there by Kyle Finnegan. Will Vest gave up a run in the eighth inning, but it was still only a 4-2 game at that point. Then the Kerry Carpenter, home run in the bottom of the eighth inning restored it to a 5-2 lead. And then with one out, the Brewers formed a rally with walks to Lockridge, Hamilton, and Renjifo. And all of a sudden, the Brewers had the go-ahead run at the plate with Bryce Turang, but he ultimately grounded out to end this game. Just kind of a sleepy day for the offense. It's not getting any easier tomorrow with Tarek Skubal on the mound. Let's talk a little bit about Chad Patrick, because it was an odd day for him. He was following an opener. We'll break down that decision as well. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Rubber game tomorrow. Get ready early for it, given the East time zone. 12:10 first pitch Central Time. We're on the air at 11:35 with the On Deck Show, Built by Menards. And then no post-game show tomorrow, but Brewers Weekly tomorrow night. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. So today, we got news, you know, right around batting practice time, that the Brewers are going to go with an opener today. They were going to use the lefty, DL Hall, and then give way to Chad Patrick. Now, let's start with DL briefly to get it out of the way. You know, there's a lot of discourse about the opener strategy, Augie. I know it's a different game, and I know it's a different world than what it is, but the way I try to frame it to people is, if this was a tied game in the sixth inning and you wanted to get a lefty against a window of lefties, nobody would bat an eye if you're saying, oh, this lefty is coming in a tie game to get multiple lefties out and handle the other side as well. Oh, that makes perfect sense. So the Brewers are saying, well, let's just put it at the start of the game and see what happens. It also helps Chad Patrick try to not have him have to face a third time through the order. But DL, it started shaky with back-to-back walks, and he got it on the rails, retiring the last five batters he faced.
Yeah, I thought after the first two, it looked like he's a little excited with the start and was overthrowing just a little bit, but was able to get that double play. And then his second, he just threw the ball really well. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that he would love to have the opportunity to start. You give him a little, get him in there, get him a couple innings. In a way, I kind of like that. I kind of like when you look at Chad Patrick, has a tendency sometimes he can throw a lot of pitches per inning. He gets in there, like you look at it, he did today, pitched four innings, had the 80 pitches. And so what you're trying to do, by starting DL Hall, and if he has the success, he can go to one or two innings. Boy, you're going to allow Chad Patrick to go deeper in the ballgame. And I like that kind of every once in a while. And it's just a matter of Chad getting in that situation where he can be more effective in the pitches per inning and then stay in the game a little bit longer. But I thought DL did a nice job today, kept him off the scoreboard, and then Chad came in and he just looked like he wasn't as sharp as he usually was. He made some mistakes with his breaking ball. He made a mistake to Torkelson with a fastball down and in, didn't quite get it to where he wanted, and he was able to hit it out of the ballpark. But just wasn't as sharp as he usually is.
When I look at what Chad Patrick needs to do to be trusted, saying, yeah, you can start a game against a talented lineup like the Tigers. Let's also, you know, take pause here. I know the Brewers kicked butt yesterday 12-4, and it wasn't even that close. The Tigers are a projected playoff team. This team's going to likely win their division. Okay, they're really darn good. And when you're able to change and manipulate their lineup based on your opener to try to set the stage for Chad Patrick, and they, quite frankly, got it about as good as they wanted it. Yes, they would have liked Kerry Carpenter maybe to get to the third inning for his first at bat and then have Chad follow that, but nonetheless, that's picking at nits here. The way I see it is you're right. The consistency just has not been there, Augie, for Chad Patrick so far this year. He's admitted it. The slurve just isn't developing like he wants it to right now. But at the same time, Pat Murphy has not been shy about the fact that Chad is not going to be trusted that third time through until he develops that extra pitch. In the big leagues, you can't just have three fastballs like we saw tonight, because when they're able to eliminate the slurve, oh, he's not throwing it for a strike, I don't need to chase this pitch. Just sit on heat. Just sit on something firm, and you're going to have 30-plus pitch innings like we saw in the fifth inning, because they don't have to change speeds. They don't have to worry about you getting you off balance or anything like that. There were some very comfortable swings being taken by against Chad Patrick right now.
Yeah, there was. And you're right. It's developing that third pitch you want. But I think it's just what Chad Patrick, as he goes along, is just to make an action pitch early in the counts, I think, is so important for him. He's got the quality stuff to do it. He's got the good cutter and the breaking ball and the good fastball. Is being able to make things happen early in counts. And I think that's one thing he has to work on, because it seems like when he's in the ballgame, he consistently goes deeper in the counts. And that when you go deeper in accounts, that you have to have a third pitch, or you have to have something that's really working well for you that night. And he usually gets that with his cutter or his fastball to good locations. But Plank made some mistakes with the fastball, and the Tigers are a good hitting team, and they took advantage of it.
When I look at what Chad can fix from tonight, that's not just about, make better pitches. Sometimes that's a little too simple. I mean, so many one-on-one counts tonight, Augie, and take us into the mind of the pitcher where – even if it's strike one, he's following it up with ball one. And now you're in a 1-1 count. And 1-1 is just one of those sneaky action counts where both the pitcher knows I need to throw a strike. The batter knows I'm going to get a strike. And again, kind of back to that last point, if you don't have something that can get me off the scent of your heater, well, I'm going to be sitting on something firm. And quite frankly, he didn't have the sinker really at all today. He was trying it a few times. He did not have it to righties. So righties are leaning out over the plate, saying, all right, I'm ready for a fastball. Just look at Javi Baez's cutter that he hit in the shallow right field to start that rally in the fifth inning. That pitch was like, a good 5-6 inches out of the zone, but he's diving over the plate because he knows nothing's going to come inside on him.
Yeah, and one time you get in, and I think Chad Patrick goes along the adage with some pitchers is that, if you go strike one, you make the next pitch better. You try to make it better, might throw a little bit wider or a little bit down a little bit, try to make that next pitch better, and sometimes he gets into overthrowing that pitch and going 1-1. I think a lot of times when you double up on a pitch and you want to make it good, it's usually when you're 0-2, 1-2, those when you get the two strikes on where you can throw that pitch in a location and then try to duplicate that pitch and make it better. And it just seems like when Chad tries to duplicate, he doesn't duplicate real well, and he makes some mistakes with it. But, when he's efficient, he's really good. It just seems like he has a lot of deep pitch counts, and when you do that, you're not going to stay in the game a long time. And tonight he had that issue where he's getting a little bit deeper, and those things happen. He made some mistakes with Torkelson, and he made some mistakes with Baez. That ball was outside. Baez knew the ball was going to go after, and he did. And then they had the big double and scored another run. So it's just a matter about being able to be consistent with all your pitches. And when you double up on a pitch, it's not about making the pitch better. It's about making a good quality pitch. And I think sometimes he gets in trouble with that.
When I look at the day for Patrick, I mean, it all turned in that fifth inning, especially the 10-pitch at-bat with Kevin McGonigal. And the stat that just kind of blows my mind from this game is that fifth inning had 37 pitches for Chad Patrick. He had zero swings and misses in the inning. So that's going to be the spot they have to develop something. The changeup is something he's never been able to figure out. Whether he needs to tighten up the slurve, make it a true curveball, whatever it needs to be, that's the next step in his development to avoid a sophomore slump. He needs to develop a true swing and miss pitch. Now, I know he got swings and misses against the cutter against the Blue Jays. That was one game. Now we need to see some consistency from Chad, and you're a month into the season. There's plenty of time to figure this out, but the dynamic of knowing, hey, there's still work to be done here, Chad will figure it out, and there's no reason to believe he won't.
No doubt about it. Like you said, he's just trying to feel that comfort zone, and feeling comfort zones with whether you're trying to learn a changeup or whatever pitch it is. I think like you were talking about, changing speeds on the cutter or a slider or whatever you do, you can make this come with a good hard slider, make it a good quality pitch, and then back off it, make it a little bit bigger. Whatever he has to do to make that change of speed pitch, I think is going to be really important to him. It's going to be interesting to watch to see how he goes out and what pitch he tries to develop.
Let's take a quick breather. Let's talk a little bit more about the silver linings, though, of this, because you're getting ready for Scooble tomorrow. You're getting ready for the Pirates this weekend. Some tough pitching on the way, but there is some good news about tomorrow being a rubber match. We'll explain after this. Brewers fall 5-2 to the Tigers on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. 5-2 the final tonight. The Tigers defeat the Brewers. Brewers scored first in this one, an RBI single from William Contreras in the third. The Tigers respond with a two-run homer from Spencer Torkelson in the bottom of the fourth. Never looked back from there. Two more in the fifth and an insurance run in the eighth. And that's all she wrote from this one. Kenley Jansen getting his 482nd career save, third all-time list for the big right-hander. Let's do a little quick buy or sell. It's brought to you by our friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, you can trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Empowered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. You know, one thing I'm buying about tomorrow, you know, you may look at this pitching matchup and even the next 2 days with Skeens to follow Scooble, is that the Brewers have Brandon Sproat going tomorrow, and you may be thinking, oh boy, you know, back-to-back Cy Young Award winner against Sproat, who's just trying to find his footing in the show. But the good news is, with Woodford going two innings yesterday, with Rodriguez going, you know, three innings today, or I should say two innings today, with, you know, finally a breather for the likes of Ashby, Uribe, and I know Miguel pitched yesterday, but he only threw 14 pitches. He could be right back after it tomorrow. The Brewers have a chance to be fully ready to back up Brandon Sproat if this becomes a pitcher's duel.
Yeah, I agree. I think you look at what they did last night. I think last night you give all the credit to Grant Anderson. He came in after Harrison in that fourth inning and just did an awesome job of just holding to a one run like he did. Getting McGill out there, McGill needs to get out there. He needs to get out there on a regular basis. And last night got out there, threw the ball very well. Aaron got out there, he threw about 20 pitches. He'll be ready for tomorrow. You want to have everybody available, especially when you have a game in Scooble's pitching, because you maybe have to use the whole pitching staff, but you got a good pitching staff coming in this weekend in the Pittsburgh Pirates. So you want to be fully ready to go with your entire bullpen, and just the way they've been able to use it the last two nights, I think is really going to help them.
When I look at what the Brewers' strength always has to be, right, it has to be understanding they don't ask too much of their starters. Now, they have a few guys that can go, in the words of Pat Murphy, bust you seven, like we saw Woodruff do the other day. But when I'm Brandon Sproat tomorrow, and I see what this lineup did, and by the way, I'm a mixture of a fly ball, but I'm pitching to a lot of contact right now. I've got a giant ballpark behind me. I've got a really good defense. And I know, and it's this different era, Augie, but I know if Brandon Sproat exits this game with five innings and with the lead, the Brewers are in really good shape. But furthermore, anything on top of that is gravy, given how Brandon Sproat's start to the season is. And I hope that can propel him into some confidence, given he throws 99 with sink. He's going to figure this out sooner as opposed to later. Maybe tomorrow's a great day to do it against Scooble.
Yeah, it is. You look at the way he pitched last time out. He just threw the ball extremely well, using all his pitches, was able to go deeper in the ball game. And, we were waiting for him to sit back, relax, be positive, get ahead of hitters. And it seemed like he was more relaxed last time out and really went after hitters with positive counts and used his secondary pitches very efficiently, had the good fastball, but his secondary pitches really paid off for him. So tomorrow, I agree with you. If you can go into the fifth or sixth inning or close in the ball game, you've got a good chance and your bullpen is going to be ready. You're going to have enough guys in the bullpen that will be ready to go that can help you out.
Yeah, against the Blue Jays, 6 2/3, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts for Sproat. The other big thing about his last start is he really leaned on the cutter and the sweeper. I wonder if Contreras is going to catch him again. You know, the day game after night game generally doesn't go to your lead catcher. Maybe it does. I don't know. We'll find out all together tomorrow. But then the other silver lining, the other thing I'm buying about this team right now too, and some good news away from the field, is that Jackson Churio hit early batting practice today on the field. So we've hinted, we've talked, like, all right, it's getting closer. All right, he's finally hitting again, which means maybe we'll have a rehab assignment by the start of next week, which means he could be back by the first week of May, and boy, would that be a shot of life in this offense that needs it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, one thing you talk about, and we talk about it since some spring training, is how healthy can you stay? And, you know, the Brewers got off a little tough times, and now you with Vaughn and Chirio and Yelly that are on the IL. But having Chirio swing the bat, getting closer, that's got to be a positive sign. And all they want to do is, let's get everybody healthy. Let's see what this offense can do. You get those three guys back in the lineup, gives you a lot more potential in that lineup. So it's really a good thing to see Chirio on the field. Swinging the bat and possibly getting back by the first part of May would be awesome.
But it's also going to be really hard tomorrow against Tarek Skubal and then Paul Skenes coming up on Friday. By the way, here's some history for you. It's only the second time it's ever happened where a team is scheduled to face back-to-back Cy Young Award winners of the previous season. And in fact, it happened last year to David Hamilton's Red Sox, where the Red Sox and the Tigers played back-to-back, I should say. And that was Skubal against the Red Sox, and then they followed that up with why am I blanking on the Cy Young Award winner from 2 years ago? But the point being is that it's the second time in a row that you're seeing back to back Cy Young, and the Brewers get to be the ones who get that challenge.
You know, it's always fun when you see the Brewers, they go up such with great pitching. They all seem to make some adjustments, and I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have to make some really great adjustments when you're facing these two guys back-to-back. It's going to get really interesting. But, hey, we have to start out tomorrow. We've got a good matchup. You look at Skubal, what he can do. He's just one of the guys with that electric fastball and breaking ball. He's got a great changeup. It's going to be interesting to watch to see what this offense does against him.
Yeah, it was Chris Sale, I want to correct myself. So it was last year the Red Sox had to face back-to-back Garrett Crochet and Chris Sale, and now the Brewers get to go back-to-back Tarek Skubal and Paul Skenes for this year's reigning Cy Young Award winner. So what a story it could be, right, Augie?
It's going to be fun. I'll tell you what. Anytime you get – it's always fun to watch when you go up against those great pitchers. And I'll tell you what, when you talk Skubal and Skenes, you don't get it much better than that. So we're going to have two interesting days here. But it all starts tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be a big ball game. It's going to be fun to watch.
Fantastic. Thank you, Augie. Appreciate you as always, my friend. We'll talk to you this weekend.
All right. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, we got some more injury updates to fill you in on as well. A rehab assignment did begin tonight, and it did not go according to plan. More on that in a moment right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Do a little hot and cold from Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Spring's here, finally. Today was beautiful. For a limited time at Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical, you can get a free AC system with the purchase of a new gas furnace. Stay comfortable year-round, but hurry. Spots are limited. Call Cider today or visit SEIDER.com to schedule your appointment. Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Brewers fall 5-2 tonight to the Tigers. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Again, 12-10 first pitch tomorrow. Real quick on a who's hot for the Brewers is, once again, Bryce Turang just does little things. He extends his on-base streak. It is currently the third longest streak to begin a season to reach base in Brewers history. Next on the list is Robin at 23, and then it is Ryan Braun with the record at 28. So he's still about a week away from getting that, but he scores the first run of the game tonight for the Brewers. Yes, he didn't have a hit, but he did have two more walks, and just reading his numbers once again, a .295 average, a .429 on base, a .538 slug. You know, you've heard me, if you've listened to me before for years, we talk about a 3-4-5 player. Now, I know he's 5 points short of three on .300 average, .400 on base, .500 slug. If you're a 3-4-5, man, that's really hard to do. You're doing something right. I mean, last year he was .288, .360, .435, and he's, you know, I know we're only a little less than a month into the season, but it's good to see improvement on all those stats. And I think the stat that really I'm excited about is the stolen bases, right? So he's got 7 stolen bases now, and the stolen base set up the first run of the game with 2 outs in the third inning. And you look at it a season ago, given what the Brewers were going through with their stolen bases and what they were trying to do on the base paths, he was stuck. He wasn't at 7 stolen bases until about this time, but it was because he had three in a single game against the A's, and then he went quiet for about 2 weeks straight where he didn't get another steal. So I hope that this continues to develop in the right direction where, yes, he had 24 steals last year, and no one's complaining about that, but he's somebody that can be flirting with 30 every single season, and that on-base percentage being as strong as it is can certainly help in that regard. Now, on the rehab front, this is the cold portion of the promo. Quinn Priester started his rehab assignment, but let me warn you not to overreact because the line is not pretty for Quinn. He only recorded two outs, throwing 29 pitches. 12 of them were strikes, three walks. He did have two strikeouts. He also had a hit batter and gave up all four of those runs that reached, came in after him when Pete Strzelecki had to spring into action. I mean, the game plan for Priester was somewhere in the 30 to 45 pitch range, but 29 pitches in one inning, you got to sit down and try to rebuild back up. But here's the thing. He's essentially starting his spring training over, okay? If this happened in your first outing of spring training in February, nobody would bat an eye. I promise you that. It's like, ooh, all right, well, knock off the cobwebs, get going. He's essentially restarting. So he'll probably readjust the schedule. Pat Murphy was talking earlier today that they expect him to maybe get three rehab starts. Maybe it's going to be more like four now after today's performance. And they've got time, given the depth they currently have in the pitching rotation. They still have Sproat up. They still have Patrick up. Robert Gasser returned yesterday from triceps tornus. Logan Henderson also pitched yesterday. He pitched well. So there's plenty of guys to go around when they need to make a spot start until Priester returns. Quick little hot and cold. Brewers fall today 5-2. Not like a full highlight segment, but a couple of key stats and numbers that I want to share with you. And then we'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up in just a little bit on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. This doesn't have like a real segment title, given normally this is where we play the highlights, but when you don't have an extra base hit in the game and the only runs that scored were on singles, it's kind of anticlimactic. 5-2 the final, Brewers fall tonight. But just some numbers I want to talk about, just some stuff that caught my eye. First of all, Kenley Jansen, 482 career saves now, third all time. He is trying to be the last to reach 500 saves. Now, we talk so much about Freddie Freeman and Jose Altuve being the last chances at 3,000 hits, most likely. 500 saves is also going to be the end of it, too. And the irony is, he's going to be the only one in the 500 save club because Trevor Hoffman and Mariano Rivera are members of the 600 save club. So I think that's pretty interesting stuff there. And then in case you're wondering, the next three guys behind him in the all-time active list, Craig Kimbrell, he's virtually inactive now. Aroldis Chapman, well, by the way, Kimbrell at 440. Aroldis Chapman at 371. He's more than 100 behind Kenley, and he's 38 years old. So he's not getting the 500 either. And then the next ones on the list, Raisel Iglesias. He's lost his job as a closer. Then you've got Edwin Diaz. He just had surgery, and he's only at 257. And he's in his 30s. He's probably not getting there. And Josh Hader, who's at 227, and he hasn't thrown a pitch this season. So not great. A couple of other notes that jumped out to me, too. And back on Chad Patrick here for a second. I know we've talked about this in post games before last season, but that at-bat to McGonagall, 10 pitches long, that was the eighth time Chad Patrick had a plate appearance of at least 10 pitches since he debuted last season. Mind you, he didn't spend the whole time in the big leagues last year. That's the most in baseball since he debuted. That's kind of crazy. 10 plate appearances of at least, or excuse me, 8 plate appearances of at least 10 pitches. And that kind of comes back to this issue that we're talking about. If you don't have that one pitch you can go to that can get a swing and miss, you're going to have a lot of long at-bats. And I know the Brewers were hoping to get maybe 5-6 innings out of him today, but you know that 37-pitch fifth inning took all the wind out of his sails. He did manage to come back out for the sixth inning, get a quick frame, but at that point, it was 5-2, and the Brewers' offense wasn't doing anything. They had Carlos Rodriguez handle the last two innings. And then this stat blew my mind. Casey Mize now technically gave up the first run of the game, right? Gave up an RBI single to William Contreras. But then in the next inning, the Tigers took the lead with a two-run homer. So technically, Casey Mize pitched to four batters in today's game while trailing. So now the whole season, in his five starts, he has only faced 10 batters while trailing. 10 plate appearances when the Tigers weren't in the lead. Or tied, I should say. That's also a pretty bonkers stat so far, because all the eyes always go to Skubal, and even Framber Valdez for a certain regard, given he was a big free agent acquisition for them. Casey Mize has really figured it out. And to see him as a former 1-1 coming back from Tommy John surgery, figure out this splitter. He has found what's working for him, getting 7 strikeouts today. Tip your cap. It's a big league pitcher over there. He did a very good job tonight. Let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. It's coming up on the other side of the break. Here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. We'll let Prince play for a little bit here. How could you not? Not even playing the Twins. But some bad news for the Twins. They lost to the Mets. Brewers fall today as well, 5-2. I'm Dom Catronio. Hear from Pat Murphy in just a moment. Yep, that's right. The Mets' losing streak is over, 12 games long. They defeat the Twins tonight, 3-2 in Queens. Their nightmare is over after Devin Williams had a brutal day yesterday, allowing all 4 batters to reach and then ultimately blowing a tied game when it was 3-3. They lost that game 5-3 yesterday. Other finals around the league here tonight. The Cubs just went final against the Phillies, who are equally a train wreck right now. They are now 8-16, and vibes are not great. Alec Boehm's hitting .150. Kyle Schwarber's hitting .207. He went 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts today. Yes, he's got 8 homers. Does not have a lot else. Bryce Harper, 0-for-4 today. They're in a weird spot right now. Furthermore, in this division, Pirates and Rangers, they're in a good one. 4-4, top of the 9th inning. In this game, it's well-pitched. Jack Leiter went 5. He's not going to factor into the decision. Old friend Tyler Alexander with 2 shutouts out of the bullpen from the Rangers. Braxton Ashcraft, a quality start. 7 innings and only 2 runs allowed. But that game could be bound for extras in Arlington. Also in the division, earlier today, the Reds fall to Tampa 6-1 down at the Trop. A home run from Junior Caminero in that contest as Nick Martinez went 8 strong against Cincy. And then finally, St. Louis also earlier today. St. Louis fell to Miami 4-1. St. Louis is still 14-10, which is pretty amazing to think about right now. And Jansen Junk, 5 shutout for the win in that one for Miami. So the manager today, he was short, he was sweet, he was to the point. He spoke to the media after today's
catcher did a great job with him. You know, he spotted his fastball when he needed to, and you know, made big pictures of balls we did hit hard. You know, we're right at people, but he did a really good job, and you know, he deserves a credit. When we didn't hit well, but we did have some good at-bats, and we competed to the very end, which I'm proud of. We didn't pitch well. I mean, I know we didn't give up a ton of runs, but we didn't pitch well. Nobody tonight, the 3 guys that threw today did not pitch well, so we got to be better than that.
What did you think about the job DL did get back on track, at least after those first 2 walks? Was it still not?
You can't walk the first 2 hitters of the game. That's, I don't care who you are. You're in the major leagues. You don't walk the first 2 hitters of the game. And, yeah, I'm proud that he came back and got out of it, but gave up some hard contact in the 2nd inning. Yeah.
What about Chad Murphy? He's kind of looking for that consistency at this level.
Right.
Outing to outing.
Yeah, he went through this a little bit last year, and there's nothing wrong with this compete. It's great, but you know, they got some pitchers to hit and hit the ball hard.
Seemed like they were on the fastballs pretty good.
They hit his cutter too, but you know, the left-handed kid McGonico hit the cutter, and I think Carpenter, that was a cutter. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's got to get the lefties out, you know.
I guess the cutter, you're still looking at something a little harder. Is that kind of where maybe he needs to take more steps with the secondaries?
Yeah, he does. I mean, he knows that. He threw some more and actually threw some good ones in his 4th inning. But, yeah, he's got to have that part of his repertoire.
Murph, what do you think when you see Kenley Jansen doing it year after year, given such your history with him?
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful to see the guy out there competing and just doing it his way. And, yeah, I just think he's, you know, he's a special character of the game. You know, I think he's a Hall of Famer, you know, in my mind for sure. And I think, yeah, it's unbelievable to see him out there and knowing the type of individual he is.
Absolutely, no doubt, bona fide, stamp it, first ballot, better be first ballot, Hall of Famer. I think we're getting better at Hall of Fame discourse with a younger generation that's actually passionate about the game and still writing about baseball, getting votes in. Oh, sorry, did I say that out loud? Oops, my bad. Anyway, it's getting better. He should be a first ballot Hall of Famer without question. But the Brewers, tomorrow. Big rubber match coming against Tarek Skubal, Paul Skeens on Friday, Mitch Keller on Saturday, and then Majinski will go on Sunday for the Pirates as of now. The Brewers are lining up to have Brandon Woodruff on Friday, Jacob Mizorowski on Saturday, and Kyle Harrison potentially on Sunday. The Brewers are a team right now, offensively, it's a very simple formula. Get on base and cause havoc. You're not hitting homers right now. Get them on, get them over. They're not hitting a lot of extra base hits. Today was the third game this season that did not have an extra base hit in it. They lead baseball in stolen bases still. They're top five in infield hits. They're top five in on-base percentage. They're top 10 in OPS. But yet they're 21st in home runs. And the returns imminently of Jackson Chourio and Andrew Vaughn and eventually Christian Yelich will certainly help in that regard. But it's not going to get any easier because I want to spend our last segment here coming up after the break just talking a little bit about this upcoming schedule because it's interesting. And you get these off days, you got to use them to your advantage. But at the same time, it's going to be a frenetic stretch here for the Brewers in making sure that they can stay healthy enough to get through these next 3-4 weeks because it's going to get real, real fast. We'll explain after our last break of the show after this on 620 WTMJ. Final segment here going for a few more minutes of Dom Catronio. One more time, no post-game show tomorrow, but we have Brews Weekly at 8 that is taped at 8 o'clock Thursday night. It is available on YouTube first thing in the morning on Friday morning with some more video aspects to it. It's still your same 40 or so minute podcast, but with bells and whistles now. So that's pretty fun. Let's talk a little bit about this upcoming schedule for the crew before we say goodnight and give you some previews of what to look out for Milwaukee. Because, look, I see a really important stretch coming up. Now, the Pirates are playing better than they were the last couple of seasons. That's going to be a hard series without Chourio and Vaughn still. Diamondbacks haven't been as bad as you think they are, but their bullpen is still very vulnerable. That's a series at home the Brewers are grateful for. But then you got those pesky Nats again in Washington. The Brewers have had a hard time playing in our nation's capital the last couple of seasons. Then you go to St. Louis, who have been surprising people too. But then it gets real, real fast when you come back home from that two-city trip with Washington and St. Louis. Home for the Yankees. Home for the Padres. Go to Minnesota, who again have been surprising. Go to Chicago for the first time, home for the Dodgers, home for the Cardinals, all in a row. All teams that are currently above 500, including the Twins. Isn't that kind of nuts? Now, I don't know if that's going to be sustainable for Minnesota, that they're going to stay because they're at 500 now, so they're probably going to fall below 500 by that point. But you get what I'm saying here. The Nats are the only team under 500 currently on the schedule. The Nats and the Astros. Currently, eventually the Twins, I should say. So three series in the month of May against teams that are currently under 500 or projected to be under 500. The Nats, the Twins, and the Astros. Everything else, Cardinals, Yankees, Padres, Cubs, Dodgers, Cardinals. Whew. It's real, man. It's no turning back now. Now, luckily, hopefully by May, you have both Chourio and Vaughn back. You'll probably still be waiting on the likes of Christian Yelich and see what you can get out of him when he does return. Speaking of Christian Yelich, I want to give a quick shout out We always talk to Yelly around this time of year to talk about his home plate charity concert. It is on May 21st in the middle of all this gauntlet when the Brewers come back home from Chicago. They have a night game in Chicago on the 20th and Thursday night. If you don't got plans, head on over to the brand new venue over at the Landmark Credit Union Live. Charlie Barron's hosting, performances by Isaac Slade and Jake Owen, also the Nicotine Dolls. There's VIP packages available. Again, Thursday, May 21st, and hope to see you there. Should be a good time. You can see the guys all spiffed up and getting ready to celebrate a night of fun and charity. And the reception, the concert doors open right around 6. So might as well come on in. And then the main program, and Charlie Barron's does a really nice job. And it's all for charity as well. So it's a reminder that the things that Yelly is doing in our community are fantastic stuff. And if you want to get involved, again, you can reach out. You can go to yelly22concert.com, and you may see me there as well. So good luck to Yelly with that concert. And we'll talk to him a little bit more about it this homestand as he works his way back getting healthy from his adductor strain. So we mentioned the pitching matchups upcoming here for the Brewers with Brandon Sproat, Tarek Skubal tomorrow, Brandon Woodruff, Paul Skeens Friday, Jacob Mizorowski, Mitch Keller Saturday, Kyle Harrison, Carmen Majinski on Sunday, and then another off day on Monday. The Brewers, as they're currently situated, there's not much immediately on the horizon when it comes to reinforcements, right? We know Churio will be back at some point in May, but Craig Yoho just started pitching again down in AAA Nashville, which is good news for him. But yet, you've still got Rob Sestrizny waiting to come back from his IL stint. You've still, we talked about Quinn Priester's outing today, but Sestrizny being on the 60-day IL means he's certainly far away. And we have not heard any updates on Jared Koenig and his sprained elbow, other than the Brewers are treating him conservatively moving forward. Because today was the day I think you really kind of missed a guy like Jared Koenig. You may not have noticed it in a 5-2 game, but if this was like a 2-2 game in the seventh inning, this certainly would have had Jared Koenig's name all over it. But now, we talked about it against Miami, try to give a breather for this leverage bullpen, right? Yes, Ashby threw 27 pitches in yesterday's game, but he's available tomorrow. Abner Uribe has not pitched since Saturday. He got warm on Sunday, but he never got into the game, obviously. Serpa hasn't pitched since Friday when he blew the save against the Marlins. Now, D.L. Hall made the start today, but then you've got McGill who can go after a day off. Grant Anderson can go after a day off, like we talked about with Augie. So I think that the Brewers are in a much better shape with their bullpen than, say, the Tigers are, given Kenley Jansen just threw 37 pitches, the most he's thrown in a single inning since 2011. So he's probably not going tomorrow. You just got looks at Kyle Finnegan and Will Vest. Those are the key middle leverage relief guys that the Tigers also have. So I think that the Brewers, can you solve the riddle that is Tarek Skubal? He has dominated you multiple times in his career. Maybe it's going to be one of those days where we go in expecting one thing and the other happens. And I will say, as we land the plane here, Skubal hasn't been Skubal. You forget what I'm saying? Now, I'm not complaining about a sub-1 whip and a 2.08 ERA, but he finally got a double-digit strikeout game in his last start against the Red Sox. But even against the Twins, he gave up 4 runs. He's walking a few more guys than usual. So it's all worth keeping an eye on. You never know what could happen. So that is going to just about do it for our program here tonight. Again, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts, if you want to find these in podcast form. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. Our thanks to Jerry Augustine as well. I'm Dom Catronio. Talk to you tomorrow. Keep on swinging.